feeling right. A daydream will last long into the night. Tomorrow at breakfast you may pick up your ears, or you may be daydreaming for a thousand years. What a day for a daydream, custom made for a daydreaming boy. I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of joy.
What a day for a daydream. Those are the Lovin' Spoonful on your radio friend. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein. Well, we may be daydreaming, but reports have it that Donald J. Trump is going to be flying to Mexico City this morning to meet with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto. I wonder if they will play Trump's greatest Mexican hits.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. You remember when Fidel Castro took over, he opened his prisons, and he sent everybody over to the United States. In a much, much, much more sophisticated way, Mexico's doing that to us. So I had an idea.
He had an idea. Good. He thinks it's good.
Every time Mexico really intelligently sends people over, we charge Mexico $100,000 for every person they send over.
And people are saying, oh, it's so dangerous what you're doing, Mr. Trump. It's so dangerous what you're doing. I have to do it. I have to do it.
What danger are you talking about?
Oh, there's great danger with the illegals, and we're just discussing that. But we have a tremendous danger on the border with the illegals coming in. Yes, ma'am.
Have you seen any evidence here to confirm your fears about Mexico sending its criminals across the border?
Yes, I have, and I've heard it. And I've heard it from a lot of different people.
It's heard it from a lot of different
people. The president of Mexico yesterday, or the ex-president, whatever, whoever, who cares? He said, whoa, we will not even consider paying for the wall. You ready? Who's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico!
Who?
Mexico!
100%.
Yeah.
I declare, I'm not going to pay for that wall. He should pay for it. He's got the money. Democracy cannot take us to crazy people that doesn't know what's going on in the world today.
That segment of clips, courtesy of MSNBC. Yes, we cannot afford crazy people running the government. But incredibly, Donald J. Trump, the nominee of your Republican Party for President of the United States of America, is going to meet with President Nieto today in Mexico City before he unveils, with a little over 2 months to go in the campaign, his immigration policy. The thing that he's been running on since he made his way down with Melania down the escalator at Trump Tower. Yeah. This is, you couldn't write this, beautiful humans. You could not make this up because nobody would believe it. Well, what we'd like to do is bring not only quality commentary, but also common sense to this broadcast. And so we do right now. This is Glenn Klein in the studio, and he is Libertarian candidate for the mighty 66 District's state representative position. Please welcome to WRJM, Mr. George Myers. Good morning, George.
Well, good morning, and thank you for those comments, Glenn. I appreciate that.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine.
You're looking fine this morning. Appreciate you coming in. So tell the folks, George, a little bit about George Myers, where you're from, and what you do.
Well, I've been in Racine for about 40, 45 years now. I'm a property manager. I grew up in the Chicago area.
Whereabouts?
A village called Oak Park, Illinois.
Familiar with that. I grew up in a village called Morton Grove.
Oh, wow. Aren't you a neighbor?
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. Cubs or White Sox?
Cubs.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. They won again last night.
Yeah, they did. They did in very good fashion. The night before was even better, but you know, last night was interesting.
Yeah, the night before the Cubs won in 13 innings.
Yes.
In walk-off fashion. Last night, Kyle Hendricks again with a gem on the hill at the friendly confines. The Cubs shut out the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-0.
That's right.
So you've seen a lot of Cubs teams out. And wouldn't it be amazing if the year that the Cubs finally, after 100-plus years of futility, won the World Series, that we put a Libertarian in the White House? How about that?
That would fit. I would go along with that plan.
Former Governor Gary Johnson is going to be in Milwaukee tomorrow at Serb Hall.
Yes.
I will be in attendance, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. You going?
I'm going to try.
So you go from Chicago to Racine. Mm-hmm. What brought you to Racine all those decades ago?
Well, it was a Ponzi scheme that actually brought me to Racine.
What?
Yes.
Literally?
Yes, literally. There was a group that was managing properties, getting rental income properties, and it was a literal Ponzi scheme. And my friend, who I'd grown up with, had invested a whole bunch of money in it just months before they went under. So he lost virtually his entire amount before he got a couple of the payments and sent me up here to see if there was anything to salvage from his $10,000. And I found out there wasn't, but the whole town virtually of inner city property was up for sale. So, and I had just a college grad at the time. And
Where'd you graduate from?
University of Houston. And so I had just left my job in Casper, Wyoming, and came back to Oak Park, and I was kind of sitting around doing nothing. And so I came up here to investigate, and I thought, well, you know, here's something to do anyway. So I went to work in that area doing learning service repairs and learning how to take care of properties. And the guy who I was working for, Tom Dremel, suggested that I buy a property. And that got me started.
And what year was that?
That would have been about 1968. That was, you know, I was working on that property, I was listening to the Cubs blow the World Series, or the greatest one, probably one of the greatest Cubs, the 69 Cubs losing to the 69 Mets,
yeah,
the Miracle Mets. But that was when I got started.
See, we Cub fans literally milepost our lives according to one Cubs disaster after another. I know exactly where I was sitting in 1984 during the Gatorade-soaked mitt of Leon Durham when he let that ball go through his leg, yeah, against the Fighting Friars of San Diego, Steve Garvey. I still hate those brown uniforms of San Diego.
That was some scene. We had just done so well in Chicago. We came out to San Diego.
Dad and I were at the game in Wrigley. We were sitting in the first row of the grandstand. Oh, my God. We were so happy. I was at Flex Meadow Inn in Eagle River, Wisconsin. That's where I watched the game, that 84 game. Yeah. In 69, I was 9 years old, but I cried like a baby. And the Cubs did not collapse. The Mets just played unbelievable baseball.
They were called the Miracle Mets, and rightly so. Yep. Yeah. It was amazing what they were doing.
So you get to Racine in 68, 69-ish. Mm-hmm. That was really a contentious time, obviously, in the country. You've seen some amazing changes in this community. What do you think is the most significant change that you've seen since you've moved to Racine?
I've never thought about that. The most significant change? It wasn't for the better, unfortunately. We were at our peak in population-wise at the 1970 census, 95,000. We've gone down to less than 80,000. We're around 79,000. So we constantly are just too much government, too much difficulty in getting a business started here, too high taxes. And it's left us with a lot of empty stores, a lot of empty houses, a lot of empty factory buildings. We've got lots of room to grow, and it's time to do that.
He is George Myers. He's running for the seat now occupied by State Representative Corey Mason in the mighty 66th District here in the Racine and Kenosha area. He is a Vietnam veteran of the 101st Airborne Division. He's the residential property manager, as he said, and he is the chair of the Libertarian Party in Southeast Wisconsin. What drew you to the Libertarian Party?
It was a letter from Tom Anderson. I had just gotten in the mail. I had been with the American Party. In fact, I ran for Secretary of State with the American Party. And when I got it, which was a very conservative party, what it was. And when I got that thing in the mail, And I read that over. I thought, just what he said there, just about freedom and about the whole situation, economic wise and stuff. I thought, wow, that's my party. And
when was that?
That would have been in the early 70s.
Wow. So you've been a libertarian a long time.
Long time, just about since its inception.
What is the biggest difference between the libertarians and the Democrats and Republicans?
Well, the reliance on government, the size of government. The Republicans and the Democrats, in fact, Americans live in the extreme right now. We have way too much government. Yeah, most people understand that. And libertarians are actually moderate in that regard. In other words, we like to see government get back down to size, down to a manageable size, where it's not running our lives, where it's doing what it's supposed to do, you know, maintain some order. But right now we've got way too much government. It's telling us every move to make. And the libertarians do want to get it smaller. Now, the Republicans at least talk that way. Let's get the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. The Democrats want more government. They think it's a solution to life. The Republicans at least say that, you know, we need to balance the budget. You know, we need to get things under control. The problem is they don't do it. And if one thing that I tell libertarian candidates, I said, you know, at least we should make the Republicans do what they say they're going to do. That would be a big accomplishment if we could get them doing that, balancing the budget.
Well, the Republicans did it within recent history when they had the deal between Newt Gingrich, who was the Speaker of the House at the time, and Bill Clinton. And then when George W. Bush came in there, they just busted the budget.
They did. In fact, if you look at there's a book called something 1999, Crash 1999, whatever. It was written by some of the people who had been confidants of Ronald Reagan. And you look at the increase in the debt, and it went right through Reagan years. You know, the only place there was a break was during Nixon when he actually balanced the budget. But through Reagan, Clinton, the Bushes, Clinton did balance it 1 year too. But it's been an avid increase in debt right from the beginning.
He's George Myers. He's running for the state representative spot in the 66th District as a libertarian here in southeast Wisconsin. This is Glenn Klein. We are going to continue our community conversation with candidate Myers on the other side of the great Tom Carco's newscast, which is next on Your Radio Friend.
How many fish have you caught here, Grandpa?
I don't think I can count that high, honey.
I don't want to leave here ever.
Bartender, ladies of the night. Grease monkey, ex-junkie, winner of the fight. Walking on the streets, it's really all the same. Selling souls, rock and roll, any other game. Working for a living. Work. Working for a living. Work. Working for a living. Living and I'm working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Working for a living, Huey Lewis and the News on Your Radio Friend. 14 minutes before 10 o'clock on your hump day morning, this is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, working for a living behind the microphone, if that's what you want to call it. He is Vietnam veteran with the 101st Airborne Division. He is the chair of the Libertarian Party in Southeast Wisconsin, treasurer of Racine Taxpayers Association, and editor of its newsletter, and also the Libertarian candidate for the state representative seat in the mighty 66th District. Please welcome back to Community Conversations, Mr. George Myers. Did you enjoy Huey Lewis in the News?
Yeah, that was a very interesting stuff. Little concerned about this venture into the entertainment field by our local governments. That is not a proper venue in which we should find
government. Well, you just jumped right back into it, didn't you? All right, so I am a huge sports fan. I would love to see Milwaukee Bucks developmental D-League team here. There were seen Kringles.
Yeah. I'll take the Iceman.
The Iceman for the hockey team. We'll take the Iceman. But in the and as I said at the bottom of the hour with Tom, that he did a lot of reporting this morning with Mike Clemens about the meeting they had and the planning they're doing and the preparation they're doing. And you think that it is all for naught coming from the government. Why?
Well, if it was a really good money-making venture, the private sector would be in here with their money saying, hey, we're going to build this and make it come. But when they immediately go to the taxpayers and say, hey, we need your money to make this happen, it's you know, that's just not the role of government. In the big government idea that a lot of people have, yes. Yes, the government belongs in everything. It should be providing you food, housing, entertainment, the whole ball of wax. That's your socialistic approach to government. But if you're going to have a individual-oriented type of government where the individual has more freedom, is allowed to keep his fruits of his labor and spend it himself, a libertarian type approach, it just doesn't belong in that area.
But what about the argument that while it is taxpayers' money, it's an investment? The taxpayers give their money to the government invests it in the community, and it creates jobs and commerce.
That's the whole Keynesian approach to economics, the consumer-driven economy. If that was true, if the economy was really driven by consumption, the more profitable we are, that's the approach, then welfare would be a tremendous benefit to this country, because people on welfare are pure consumers. They produce nothing. They just consume. Well, if you looked around and noticed, it's not working, because the economy is not consumer-driven. It's driven by workers. It's driven by productivity. It's driven by investment. And that's where it comes from. And so for us to be putting money into it as taxpayers to say we're going to make a venue here where there's more consumption, more things happening, to help build up business, simply doesn't work that way. Yes, there will be some people that benefit from it, perhaps the retailers in the area, but the amount of money taken out of the economy in other areas where the rest of the taxpayers live more than offsets, unfortunately, that little bit of gain that comes from the in the commercial district close to that particular venue.
All right, so let's say that we want the Bucks D-League team here. We want the minor league hockey team here. We want the event center. Mm-hmm. How does George Myers, from a libertarian perspective, get involved with the private sector in order to encourage that development?
Well, it's real simple. But first, let me say this. We've discussed at the Taxpayers Association meeting, by the way, already. Racine would be a very good place for them to choose. And if you just look at our Raiders team, you see what I'm talking about. The Raiders regularly draw crowds in the thousands, thousand, 2,000, really in the bigger games. You go to where they're playing, and there's a couple hundred people there. So we have a nature here in Racine to support these kind of teams. If they want to go to the place where you're going to get the most bang for your buck, come to Racine. The way I would get them in here, though, is a totally different approach. If we really want business here, we need to reduce taxes and reduce regulations. We have a mountain of regulations and bureaucrats to climb through in order to start up a business in Racine. It's very difficult. We have very high taxes compared to other communities. So that makes it difficult for businesses to survive here. We also have a horrible attitude. If you just listen to the aldermen, listen to the mayor, they're often saying we need more businesses in here so that we can tax them. They look at business in the area as a taxing source, a revenue source for government. Now, that's not the role of a business either. It's not to provide money to the government. It's not as a taxing entity. They come in here to produce all the things we enjoy. If you look around your living room, look around the studio here, what you see is a result of what the private sector produces. All right? And that is the real purpose of business, to increase our standard of living. It is not as a taxing source for government. So we have to get rid of that whole attitude, get the taxes down. In other words, there's a lot of work to be done to draw them in. It's not simply sell them on, hey, we got the best tasting water and we're saying we have beautiful beaches and come and see our triathlons. It's got to be something that's economic, makes economic sense to them, which would say, hey, it's easy to open up. All you got to do is come on down, you know. Don't have any regulatory
and communities thing. Around the country, especially in some of the southern states that were suffering so much economically, have done that type of thing. And especially with automobile manufacturing, and it's exploded.
That's how we lost a lot of people here, was that they were going to into the South where there were fewer regulations and fewer lower taxes. Because businesses have to survive, and when you're dealing with some of this foreign competition, you've got to keep that overhead down. And when you're in the United States and amongst all the taxing entities, and there's a lot of them, when you're giving 30, 40, 50% of your profits to the government, and in places like Racine, it's not even profits. You're part of the expense structure because of property taxes. It's not even based on profits.
He is George Myers. He's running for the District 66th State Representative seat. This is Glenn Klein on Community Conversations on WRJ. You want to take a phone call?
Sure, I'll take a phone call.
Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning.
How can we serve you?
Well, actually, I just had a call and a respond. This is Mayor John Dicker.
There he is.
Yeah, I sound like him. Yeah, I thought I'd recognize that voice.
Mayor Dicker, look at you.
Welcome to the show.
thank you. I just had a respond because of a couple things, and I'm not asking George to be able to understand the complexity of a development like this, and nor am I asking him for
far beyond my poor power to comprehend, Mayor.
I think there's a couple of facts that just need to be included in the conversation. And that is that, first of all, George, the argument about the welfare state is great, but you know the Wall Street corporate welfare costs this country $5 trillion. So I don't think you really should start comparing welfare to welfare. The second thing is that we have the lowest county tax rate in the area. And if your simple assumption, and unfortunately it's an overly simplistic assumption, is that because of a lower tax rate, you're going to draw in companies and businesses and people. Well, we do. We have the lowest county tax rate in the region. As a matter of fact, when people shop at Michigan Boulevard or Michigan Avenue in Chicago, their tax rate is one of the highest in the country, but yet people tend to shop there. So,
Mayor, and the county population is growing. Business is growing in the county. Listen, I can't let all these things pass. First of all, I do not support any kind of welfare. I said welfare. You're the one that said it was individual welfare, but the businesses also get welfare, and we're opposed to that. There's absolutely ridiculous that we would be supplementing companies like McDonald's, giving them money so that they can advertise. So all kinds of welfare is just a crutch that is doing no good for the economy. The county is growing in population. The county's growing. It's the city of Racine that is not. And don't start saying that we have the lowest tax rate in the state because we don't. We have some of the highest tax rates in the state within the city itself.
Well, on the contrary, George, and if you look at the numbers, everything that you have just said is what everyone is doing to build the economy. The communities that are growing and building that you have talked about so fondly are the very communities that are using those incentives and those opportunities to build their communities.
Well, that's not so true. There's been extensive studies in all these communities that bring in sports teams, and they find out all it does is build up their name. It does not increase the economic activity.
The development we're building is not about sports teams. It's about a hotel and a convention center. It's not about sports teams. Those are just additives to the overall plan. But if you look at, and I've had the opportunity, George, to talk to these cities that have been growing at exponential rates, and they are doing the exact same thing that we are looking at doing in Racine. So I
well,
guess
we're
I
we've been doing that for decades. Machinery Row is a good example of exactly that type of activity, and how much has it brought in so far? And now you're already talking about extending a loan that was made to one of these so-called developers, where he hadn't put a penny of his own money into it, and here now we're going to strip the taxpayers of more money for this thing called Machinery Row. So we've been trying this for decades to throw money into the economy. West Racine, we've spent millions of dollars of taxpayers' money, and what did we get? A blood testing thing. We did not get more commercial activity in West Racine thanks to the activities of your bureaucracy.
Well, again, George, the bureaucracy has been incredibly cut in the city of Racine. Your facts are completely off, and I've got to challenge you on that stuff, because the reality is you're stating things that simply are not factual. You know,
well, they are factual. All you have to do is look at the population, Mayor. It continues to decline. People continue to leave Racine.
And that is a... You need to let people get out the facts. The facts are deregulation and cutting taxes have never grown the economy. Number two, it's important for you to understand that in the past, our TIF districts were bleeding out. Since I've been mayor, those TIF districts have all been supplemented to the point where they're basically costing the taxpayers nothing. And that DaVita dialysis clinic that you talked about was losing money. That TIF district was losing money every single day. They are now paying that TIF off, and that TIF is getting paid off, so our taxpayers are getting their money back.
He is
to be honest with the public about that.
He is Mayor,
Mayor
John Dicker. It was a prize call. This was not a setup. I'm glad you're listening. And you're coming in.
I don't like when people do this. I don't like when people sit there and tell lies as if they're facts. It really bothers me when we're working hard to build this community. And when George is saying things about our community that are simply untrue and flat-out lies, I've got to defend it, so I apologize.
Well, there you've heard it, folks. Apologize. Now you understand what I'm talking about, that the fact of deregulating and lowering taxes does no good for the economy. It's an amazing, but that's just what I was telling you about, Glenn, is that this is the attitude we have towards business in this community, and particularly amongst the bureaucracy, is that businesses are there to be taxed. They're there to support the government of this city, and the result is people continue to leave. We used to be the third largest city in the state. We're down to number five, and I think there's Eau Claire. One of these towns is closing in on us. We're about to move down to number six if we continue to lose people. People leave because there are no jobs here. They come here only if they have enough money to enjoy our nice sands and our good drinking water, but they don't come here to find jobs.
Unfortunately, George, you're mistaken, because the reality is that the number of people in this city used to be about 4.6 per family. So if that math was correct, then actually we'd be half of where we are, because the current family number is about 2.1. So given your math,
I'm using census
figures, Mayor.
You would be at
about 45,000. Now the reality is, George, is that there are more apartments, more condos, and more houses built in Racine than ever, but the family structure size has been depleted, number one. Number two, the reason that the city was passed up, because the city of Kenosha doubled in size. We were below that. We were above them. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is the other cities have expanded their base and expanded their opportunity in the platform. We haven't been able to do that because we're landlocked. So, again, George,
this landlock argument, Glenn, I'm sorry, you can't let those things go. We have so much room within the city. I look at all the vacant factories, the vacant houses, the vacant lots, the green space. It's just the brownfields. It's just amazing, and they blame it on because we're landlocked. Well, why don't we build within the city? Well, you can't build within the city. There's too much bureaucracy and too many taxes.
We're offering to build on a brownfield site downtown. I mean, you can't even keep your conversation straight. George, we're building on a brownfield site downtown, and you're telling us that we shouldn't do that. We have more buildings.
I'm looking at the old Jacobson Field. I mean, you know, there's a lot. All I'm saying is there's a lot of space to build in this city, and we continue to lose people.
All right, gentlemen, time out, Mr. Mayor, hold on.
The lowest rates in history.
Mr. Mayor.
Again, Your facts are wrong, George.
I'm up against a hard break. You're coming in Friday morning, right?
Yeah, you know, and I'm not going to talk about George because the reality is, unfortunately, he just keeps throwing out lies and misinformation. And I think the public, when they go to the polls, they have to realize that.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Mayor. Why would George, what incentive does he have? What motivation does he have personally for lying?
Well, because of the fact that the Libertarian Party and these comments that they make are easy to sell. This is Trump-like sales, right? All you have to do is deregulate and cut taxes, and the country will be great. Well, guess what, George? George Bush did that for 8 years. How did that work for you? The facts are the facts. And when somebody says about my city that I've been working hard for 7 years to fix, that they're going to put out lies and misinformation, then I'm going to stand up for my city, my staff, and all the people that are working very hard.
All right,
build this city up. The only thing George has done is tear it down.
All right,
we need builders.
We'll talk to you Friday morning. We look forward to seeing you as always. Thanks for calling.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
And thanks for listening. There he goes. Well, I was surprised about that. I just took the call. I didn't know it was Mayor Dickert. So, all right, so he obviously directly compared your position to Donald J. Trump. And
that was marvelous. Yeah,
and the tenure, the administration of George W. Bush. In our last moment, what is your rebuttal to that?
Well, Bush did not lower taxes. And Bush also...
Well, but Bush did lower taxes. He had the tax cut, the Bush tax cuts.
Well, okay, but the...
He did not rein in spending, though, that's for sure.
Well, right, that's right. If you just switch it over to debt, that doesn't do any good either. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He lowered
income tax.
Yeah, he did. He reduced some taxes some. And that also, he did it to boost the economy, and to some degree it did. But it didn't do it to the degree because of the increased debt and the increased burden it put on the American people.
He gets all fired up, Mayor Dickert, you know.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, you know, he believes in what he says. I mean, you know, he believes, he said one time that he's not going to lay off any people in City Hall because they go out and spend money and that helps increase the economy. That is another one of the fallacies of the Keynesian people, the thing I talked about. It's consumption driven. Never mind that the people are paying taxes, maybe they'd like to spend that money, but somehow it benefits that we give it to the government first and then they go out, the bureaucrats go out and spend money at the shops.
Well, he's not running against Mayor Dickert, although you wouldn't have known it, but he is running against State Representative Corey Mason in the mighty 66th District for that seat here in the Racine County area. Thanks so much. I didn't know we were going to have a debate this morning, but that was fun.
It was interesting.
Thanks for serving our country and for serving our community. And we'll talk to you again very shortly. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Well, we ran overtime with that interview, and I'm sure you'll agree that it was definitely worth it. At 10:05, WRJN covers the world.
Trump goes to Mexico. Hawaii's hurricane warning. I'm Evan Hanen. Donald Trump is meeting with Mexico's president before today's big speech.